Peace be with you. Friends, today we come to the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the church's liturgical year. And we enter into this wonderful season that so many Christians reverence, this season of waiting for the coming of Christ. We place ourselves in the spiritual space of the ancient Israelites, who century after century waited for the coming of the Messiah. We move into their space, and we wait with them. Advent is a time when the spirituality of waiting is on display. There's a movie I saw some years ago, kind of an avant-garde German movie, called Run, Lola, Run. It's a strange little film. I'd recommend you see it, though. It's about a woman who is in a desperate situation. She needs to get lots of money in a very short period of time. And so she runs and runs and runs all through the movie trying to get this money, trying through her own efforts to achieve this end. And she never gets it, of course. Toward the end of the film, she's been running, of course. She slows to a trot. She gazes up to the sky, up to heaven, and she says, "I'm waiting. I'm waiting." Now, to this point in the movie, we have no sense that Lola is the least bit religious. She never addresses God directly, but yet at that key moment, looking up to heaven, "I'm waiting." Well, in the wake of that prayer, a solution presents itself almost impossibly to her, and the movie comes to a happy conclusion. Well, I've always been struck by that image. A woman who, look, like a lot of us, running, running, running to get our lives in order, running to achieve what we want, but then who at the key moment says, "I'm waiting for the higher power of God to act in my life." She's an Advent figure, I think. Are there lots of biblical antecedents for this attitude? Yes. All through the Old Testament, we have stories of people who wait, who are compelled to wait. Remember the story of Abraham. Yahweh promises him, "You will be the father of many nations. Through you I will raise up descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." Well, he gets this promise while he's already an old man. And then, through many years, he has to wait. As the promise gets less and less unlikely, as he undoubtedly endures the taunts of his neighbors, maybe the pitying glances of his friends, as people tell him, "Abraham, you're crazy." Did his faith waver? Maybe. Did he have doubts? Probably. But he waited. And after many, many years, the promise did come true. How about the story of Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, the one with the many-colored coat? Joseph has a dream. One day your brothers will bow down to you and you will be this great figure. Does it come true? Yes, but only after a long period of waiting. Do you remember he's sold by his brothers into slavery? He's sent to Egypt. There he's falsely accused of sexual misconduct. He's sent to prison. Can you imagine what an ancient Egyptian prison was like? Day after day, month after month, year after year, for 7 years, Joseph waits until finally the promise, in a very unexpected way, is fulfilled. How about the Israelite people themselves? As they are led out of slavery in Egypt by Moses, they triumphantly leave, they cross the Red Sea, and then they wait. A couple days, a couple weeks, no, 40 years. 40 years, a couple of generations they wait before they come in to the promised land. What is it about this spirituality of waiting? Well, let's look at it theologically a little bit. We hate to wait. We always have, but I think especially we modern people hate to wait. I'm a Chicagoan. That means I'm stuck in a lot of traffic jams. You know what I mean? Wherever you're traveling, it seems like any time of the day or night, you're likely to be in a traffic jam. Usually behind some massive truck. You're stuck. You want to get someplace, but you can't get there. You don't know what the problem is. You don't know when it will be solved. And there you are forced to wait. I hate that. I hate waiting in doctor's offices. When you have an appointment at 10 o'clock, it's now 10:45, you're still waiting. I hate to wait when the electricity goes out, and all you can do, you can't control it. All you can do is wait for it to come on. We hate that. So when we hear that at the heart of the biblical vision is a spirituality of waiting, we're not too thrilled. How can we make sense of it? Think first of this, Christians. We and God are on very different timetables. Who is God? Not one being among many, but God is the creative source of all that is. God is the Lord of all of space and time. God stands outside of time and governs the whole of the cosmos. Our days and weeks and years, that's just an instant for God. What seems like an intolerable time of waiting for us, in God's plan, with God's intentions, that means very little. We are on different timetables. Read the first letter of Peter, you'll find this. Lord, 1,000 years for you are like a day. You know, our measure of time is not God's measure of time. I know I've quoted to you before from Richard Rohr, the spiritual writer, who summed up the spiritual life in this phrase, your life is not about you. Your life is not about you. It's your life, but it's not about you. It's about God's purposes. What's God doing while you wait? Well, that's God's business. Part of the spirituality of waiting is simply acknowledging the Lordship of God. But can we make this even a little more specific and precise? Why would God make us wait for certain things, as He made Abraham and Moses and Joseph and many others wait? Chesterton said, if you're on the wrong path, the very worst thing you could possibly do is go fast. It's a very good point now for all of us who just naturally move fast. Okay, if you're on the right path, you're going to get there quickly. But if you're on the wrong path and you're moving fast, you're in some trouble. You're moving more quickly in the wrong direction. Does God make us wait sometimes so that we can stop and realize I'm not going the way I should be going? Maybe God forces us from time to time to stop and look and reassess our lives. You know that old joke about the airline pilot who comes on the intercom and says, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is we're totally lost. The good news is we're making splendid time. That's the way a lot of us live our spiritual lives. I'm lost, I'm on the wrong path, but I'm making splendid time. Maybe the point is, stop, stop, stop. Wait, wait. Reassess your life. Here's another take on it. St. Augustine wrote a letter to a woman named Proba, and we read this letter every year in the Office of Readings. Augustine says to her, you know, sometimes God doesn't answer prayers right away. Sometimes He makes us wait. Why? Because our hearts are not yet prepared to receive what God wants to give us. That's a splendid insight, worth meditating on. We want something. We ask for it, and God makes us wait. What does that do? Well, it causes the heart, as it were, to expand. So now I want it more. My desire for this thing is stirred up, awakened, expanded. How long does God make us wait? Perhaps until the heart is sufficiently expanded to receive what He wants to give us. What if we got everything from God we wanted the minute we asked for it? Well, we'd never perhaps appreciate the gift. We'd never be able to take it in. Our hearts were not sufficiently expanded. Maybe that's one reason why we wait. How about a third reason? And the story of Joseph, the dreamer, I think really brings this to mind. Maybe we want something. Maybe we do desire it sufficiently. But we're just not ready in our lives to handle it. When Joseph had the dream about his brothers bowing down to him, that he be a great and powerful Lord, he was a kind of arrogant, self-absorbed kid. If that dream had come true at that moment, Joseph almost undoubtedly would have abused that authority and that power. What did he need? He needed this long period of discipline, of suffering, that readied him so that when he did receive that gift, now he could use it well, as indeed he did. When his brothers bowed down to him, he could respond to them as a gentle and compassionate Lord. Maybe you wait, Christians, because you're not ready yet to receive the gifts that God wants to give you. Let me close now with just a few practical suggestions as we enter this season of Advent. Practical ways of cultivating a spirituality of waiting. A wonderful practice, I think, in Catholic spirituality, spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. Go before Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Sit in His presence, kneel in His presence, pray the rosary, pray in silence, whatever it is. But while you're doing that, you're not particularly getting anywhere. You're not particularly accomplishing very much. What are you doing, though? You're keeping vigil. You're waiting. While you pray, can I suggest this? Pray Lola's Prayer. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Something that you want, something you need, and maybe you've been trying for many, many months or years to accomplish it, and say, Lord, I can't accomplish this, but I'm waiting for You. I'm waiting for You to act in my life. Spend time this Advent in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's a wonderful practice for the spirituality of waiting. A second recommendation, take advantage of traffic jams. Take advantage of long lines. Take advantage of the times when you are forced to wait. And listen, Christians, instead of doing what I do, banging the steering wheel, complaining, say, okay, Lord, maybe You're making me wait for a reason. Take advantage of that time. Pray. Do the Jesus Prayer. Pray the Rosary. Just link yourself up to God. And say, waiting is not a disadvantage, but waiting is now an advantage for me. Try those two practices this Advent. And as you do it, listen, identify with all these figures from the Bible I talked about. All these great heroes of the faith who were compelled for various reasons to wait. Put yourself in their position and realize that God, whether you know it or not, is working in you. God bless you and have a good Advent.